live with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.
Oh, Rita Steele.
Kia ora. How are you?
Good.
Good?
I am also good.
Is that good noise in the background at your house? Is there something pumping?
No, building over here, guys. You just talk about yourselves. We'll figure it out in a second.
Oh, you've got a beard going. Now, Rita, what are we talking about this evening for Sustaining Alive?
We're talking about what is possibly another talk fest, the One Planet Summit, which was recently hosted by France, or Francais, and Costa Rica and the UK. And it's a biodiversity summit that New Zealand hasn't signed up to, which I don't really know. Like, I haven't been able to get a quote from anyone as to why we haven't signed up to it. But I thought we'd talk a little bit about why it's really important that we do and see if we can put pressure on those that represent us to sign up and make it known that biodiversity is super important to New Zealand and New Zealanders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you've shot us a link to an article which ran on newsroom.co.nz about a week and a half ago. That's what we're talking about, if anyone is curious. It's New Zealand. It's titled NZ Absent from Major Biodiversity Pledge.
So in 2010, the world, through the UN, set a bunch of 20 biodiversity targets that we would then go back, to our countries and spend time, ensuring that our legislation and regulations kind of try to meet these targets. Mm. And a report came out that was said that the world failed to achieve them quite badly. And through that, New Zealand has set a thing called the National Policy Statement. There's a draft one for biodiversity, and that came out, and we talked about it last year, about what that looked like and why it was really important. And it's sort of part of, I guess, the framework that is our Resource Management Act and how we treat species, native species, in New Zealand. So we did do some kind of draft work around it, but we really haven't done a lot. So we're kind of very much so part of the, the class that got a D minus for our biodiversity targets. And so off the back of that failure from the world, Britain, Costa Rica, it was driven a lot by Costa Rica, actually. They're big on biodiversity as a biodiversity hotspot of the world. France and Britain got together and they created this One Planet Summit. Now got 50 countries signed up to it. And there's a nice hard kind of target of 30% of the planet, so land and sea, over the next decade being protected so that we can sort of halt the mass extinction that is in progress at the moment for our wild species.
Yeah, the article has this crazy fact that as it stands, 96% of all mammals on Earth are either humans or their livestock, and 70% of birds on the planet are farmed poultry.
It's a pretty few one, I think.
No humans or birds there in that stat, John?
No,
checking. All right.
About 3.something% are wild species, and that's flipped in the last.
It sounds like we're quite hungry. That's what that sounds like.
Totally. It's pretty grim, and I guess if you think about biodiversity, it sounds. Just so people understand, biodiversity is really, in a nutshell, the amount of different species that you have. There's a much more technical sort of definition, but that's the way to think about it. And you can look at the biodiversity on your own property, and you can look at the biodiversity in a certain ecosystem, but that is what biodiversity is. And for when you look at those sorts of stats, 97% being, a handful of species, for our own pleasure, eating-wise, it's pretty grim. And we really do need to protect them, protect biodiversity, because even if it's just for our own kind of purposes, a lot of medical, solutions come from biodiversity. So, we find almost every medicine that we have, we've found in nature and then synthetically replicated.
In a kind of creepy way, then, it wouldn't be better if we started eating more weirder stuff?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk of that, and there's a guy that
keeping it around, wouldn't we?
Because yeah, there's a guy. I can't remember his name, but it'd be quite interesting to interview him. There's a guy that believes that we should farm kiwi so that we can actually protect them.
There's a thing is that's messed up, but it's so kind of true as well.
That is the argument that they use for trophy hunting, but actually what they've found is you still just get this. You get a lack of biodiversity in their genetics, because right. What ends up happening, and this is what we've done to cows, is you end up kind of breeding the cows that can, like for milk, for example, we've bred out the maternal instincts in cows because it's actually quite detrimental to them to be heartbroken when their calves get taken off them. So, you know, that's kind of being bred out of them. And plus other things, plus other genetic diversity that's quite important for resilience purposes. So what ends up happening when you farm them is those genetic diversities kind of drop away, and you end up with, you know, not a lot of diversity there. And then if something happens, like let's just say, like we've got now, a virus comes through, and if there's not a lot of diversity, then it can wipe out a species pretty easily. Whereas if there's lots of diversity, you get some of those species will be naturally immune to it, and they'll survive, and then they'll go on, if that makes sense. So diversity, biodiversity is really important, not just at species level, but at genetic diversity level too.
Now, Rita, we kind of often think about the land when we think about biodiversity and stuff we can see, but most of New Zealand's biodiversity is actually in the ocean.
Yeah, so we're really unique in the world. 80% of our biodiversity is at sea, but we also have...
But how far does that extend? Like,
we've got one of the largest ocean spaces compared to our land. So it is quite far. I think it's 200 kilometres, I think, from memory.
Off the coast? What? Wait, so yeah, off so every got, coastline... We can't.
No. For some reason, we've got a really big, like, sea area that we are entitled to. I'm not sure why, to be fair. I don't know whether it's just because there's no one else around us.
Is it down towards the Arctic? A lot down there?
What was that, sorry?
Is it down, like, South Island's side? Or, like, how does it work? I'm picturing, like, a sonar echoing off New Zealand. Like, is that how it works? Or is it
yeah,
just like
it is kind of like a, you know, yeah. sort of. You know, a halo around New Zealand, if that makes sense. But I mean, you know, it'd be really interesting to understand why we've got such a large area of ocean. But I mean, when you talk about these species, they're species that, I mean, they're not, you know, distant, like they're only just coming in, like within our sea zone and then buggering off. Most of these species can be found, you know, pretty close inland. We get 50% of the world's sea mammals come into our waters, which is really exciting for anyone that loves dolphins or whales. So we get them. We get a lot of sea, like our seabird population is really unique. So
what albatross?
And only despite having that, we've only got less than 1% of our ocean is protected, which is you know pretty grim.
What? Did you say 1%?
Less than 1%, 0.4%.
What? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Are we the only people running these numbers? Is anyone else running these numbers higher up the chain than us? Because that's ridiculous.
You know, anywhere where there's a lot of...
It's crazy.
A lot of fingers and pies, you know? Like there's a lot of money to be made in the ocean.
Fishering, isn't it?
Yeah. And if you... I mean, you look at the putting CCTV camera on boats. I mean, if you look at how much bycatch there is and the fact that no one wants to put these cameras on their boats, and it's such a simple thing to do, why is it not happening?
But how about those statistics? 80% of our biodiversity is in the ocean. We're protecting 1% of the ocean. Problem.
Yeah, it's insane. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And no doubt there's people trying very hard to stop any more protection happening. There is also complexities around things like, you know, the Treaty of Waitangi. you know, existing quotas that have been sold, and what does that mean? If we protect an area, does the government need to buy out those quotas?
Yeah, just buy the quotas back, man. Come on, guys.
But at some point, I mean, quotas mean nothing if there's no fish or if the ecosystem they live in is completely destroyed, which means they will soon fall. So, you know, it is kind of shocking. Even the land, which, you know, the numbers look a little bit better on the land, but when you dig into them, they're not. So 30% of our land, or around 30%, is protected, but 60% of our ecosystem in New Zealand is degraded to a point of it almost not working. So what that means is almost anywhere that isn't protected is in decline in terms of its status. So if it's not protected, it will eventually just become useless to us, which is really quite grim. And also, the 30% that is protected is usually higher, you know, it's up in alpine areas where we can't really develop it, or we can't, you know, strip it and put trees on it or whatever. So it's been less about the fact that we've made a conscious effort to protect that area, and more that area, you know, was relatively useless from an economic point of view, so why don't we just protect it? So it's kind of like, from that perspective, it's a little bit grim. We haven't gone, let's get some low-lying forest areas and protect those, you know, on mass. So, you know, that's kind of a little bit sad as well, because it means all those species that are low-lying, so the kahikateas, for example, which are, you know, low-lying forest trees, they are almost extinct. So, yeah, so, I mean, you know, that the 30% looks good, but actually when you dive into it, it's not really. And there's countries out there that are doing it, even America. I mean, who knows if they're going to actually do it, but they've signed up to protect 30% of their land mass. We could be aiming for 50% without it hurting us too much, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, how come we didn't sort of buy into the situation? Does anybody have an insight into that?
What was that, sorry?
Well, we've opted out of this France situation that you were talking about. Do you know why?
No, I don't. I mean, I couldn't get hold of anyone that could speak officially on why. It would be really good to get them to, because I think that if this is a time to understand some of the motivations of this government, because they say all the right things, so it's like, well, you guys need to back this up.
Is it a case of like, we're focusing on COVID, that's still our thing?
There could be a bit of that. They could also feel like I feel a little bit, where, you know, is it another talk fest? You know, do we just need to, like, batten down and actually make an effort to implement the agreement that we've already signed up for? That said, it's not that much harder to sign. I mean, this is a video conference. It's not like we're spending, you know, millions of dollars to fly people to France to sign it. You know, it seems to me that this is a space we should be leading the world in. So I don't know why we haven't signed up, and I ask the audience if you think biodiversity is important to you, if you like getting out into the bush and seeing something other than a sparrow or pigeons or rats, then it's definitely worth just, it's not hard to write an email to your local MP and just say, hey, by the way, notice that, you know, you guys didn't sign the One Planet Summit. You know, I'm just, as the representative of me, I'm disappointed that you didn't do this. And then that way, at least they know that it didn't go unnoticed.
What would David Longy do, eh? You know? That's what we all got to ask ourselves more often. What would David Longy do?
Oh, dear.
All right, Rita.
Yeah,
well,
that's me, really.
That was enlightening. And, yeah, biodiversity.
Sucks. It feels like we're kind of losing our sort of righteous edge, where we could just be like, fuck that, we'll do it 60%.
All right,
you know,
no,
like,
fishing.
We should just be like, come in and just go, fuck it, we're going to do it more. And everyone would be like, oh, wow, imagine the press around that. And everyone would come for a visit. And Lord
I
of the Rings.
I know. That's what I think. And I do think, you know, that there's so much value in having, you know, not necessarily straight or easy to transfer, like, you know, economic value in it, but there is value in having these healthy ecosystems. They function better. That means that everything else functions better. You've got clean air, you've got, you know, erosion protection, you've got protection from random diseases that, you know, can come up from in degraded ecosystems. So
and
so
you're protecting
many
your brand, our strong brand.
And totally. And, you know,
brand.
When this is all Yeah, and there was something that came out of it that I thought was super cool. So, I'm sorry, it's a bit random, but I read this and I thought, I need to find out more about this.
Okay.
So there were side talks in the summit about how to stop the Sahara Desert from spreading south. So they're actually going to plant an arc of trees across 7,000 kilometres to stop the desert. I just thought that was so fascinating.
Shit.
So anyway, I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch that very carefully and see how it goes.
Right on, Rita. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We'll,
no worries. You guys have a great week.
You too.
Hey. See ya.
Bye.
That was Sustainin' Alive on 95 BFM.